sometimes you, I don't know about you, but kind of mindful that we have meetings where it's our custom. And there are other meetings when you're fulfilling your custom and it's special. God loves our loyalty. Jesus went to the temple as was his custom. And he saw a whole load of stuff he didn't agree with. He saw a whole load of stuff that was on its way out. But he still went. It was his custom. And we turn up week in, week out. It's our custom. And there are times when, in being dutiful, God is really coming close. And I want to talk today about living in hope. And rejoicing in grace. And I've got some verses we're going to read. But as we were worshipping, I saw, I don't know whether it was an angel or it was a minister, that's what I can say, who was walking up and down, swinging incense, like in a priestly fashion. And one of the verses we'll read, I'm going to pronounce it if you'll let me go up and down the aisles. And then we'll get into looking at some stuff as well. But I'm going to pronounce something, and it's Romans 15:13. I'm going to be in Romans 5 as well. I'm going to go to the second verse first. So Romans 15:13. And it says this, you need to look at me, if you can. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing as you abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of peace fill you with joy and peace in believing as you abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of peace himself cause you to abound in hope, and may you know the joy of believing as you abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of peace himself cause you to believe and know the joy of that belief as you abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God himself cause you to believe. May God himself cause you to hope. And may God himself cause you to have the joy of believing. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be in Romans 15:13. And we're in Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Remember that, to stand in grace. And we rejoice in hope. Remember that phrase, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given us. And then I'll read it from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen. Amen. So, Lord, would you help us just to really get this on the inside, so we can come out as well. About 3 or 4 months ago, I celebrated 40 years of being a Christian, and you know that number 40 is biblically pregnant, isn't it? You know, and I was kind of getting to this time towards the end of December, thinking, 40 years, what are you saying, Lord? And we've had some changes in our lives over the last year or two. So just kind of chewing on stuff with God and so on. And I found myself celebrating and thinking things like, thank you, Lord, that I've made 40 years. And thank you, Lord, that I'm still here and I want you. And it was all getting into thank you, Lord, that I. And as I got nearer to that time in the month when I had an encounter with God, and I'm still trying to work out what happened, really. Something went on. And it's almost, you know, the light of the Spirit comes into your heart, and you start thinking, my goodness me, what, Tony, it's not about you and your performance. It's not about the fact that you've sought to seek God over these years and you've sought to be faithful. It's not about me. It's my faithfulness. It's about Him and His grace and His mercy and His faithfulness and His ability, by the power of His grace, to keep me. It's about Him and His keeping, not about me and my walking. He says, even when we are faithless, He's still faithful. Amen. And the Apostle Paul, he said here, didn't he? He said, we've got peace with God. There's a lot of things, you know, in life, in society, in the atmosphere, if you will, that want to rob us of peace. I don't mean just like peace of wanting to be relaxed. I'm on about the power of God's peace. There's a lot of stuff that wants to erode that sense of standing in the grace of God and rejoicing in hope. A lot of stuff, you know. And the Apostle Paul, he said here that we've got peace with God and we've got access by faith into grace. And that faith in the grace of God causes us to be able to stand in grace. And that grace enables us to be able to rejoice in hope. And to be able to rejoice in hope in the midst of testings. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we believe, so we can abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In times of blessing and in times of trial, ultimately hope, faith, and grace can prevail, and we can stand in the grace of God. When our kids were small, we used to play a little game, and I'd put my hand on a table or something, and then one of them put their hand on there, and then I put mine on top, and then they try and wiggle it out and put theirs on, and then we go. John said that God came in flesh, and he was full of grace and truth. And from the fullness of that grace, we've all received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And he just goes on and on. You put your hand down, God puts his hand on top. You try and pull it away, he's going to put it on top. You think, well, I've had enough grace. God, you got me through that. Well, you need some more. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're through. I'm dusted. I'm ready to go. No, you need some more. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Now, for us, grace is a person. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is this: he who was rich became poor for your sakes, so that we might become rich in him. The grace of God is this: that he became something he wasn't, flesh, in order that we might become something we weren't, holy and righteous. Grace personified. The gospel is grace personified in Jesus. This is what we celebrate. This is how we can stand. This is how you can have hope in the dark place. Because the one who was rich became poor for your sake and for my sake. And he gave us a glorious exchange that we can live from him and not have to be living from our own reserves. My life is hid with Christ in God. The life I now live in the flesh, in this body, in this mortal body, I live by faith. Actually, I live by God's faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Full of grace and truth. Hebrews 13:9 says, it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace and not by strange foods. There's all kinds of wacky stuff in Christian land that can really get you fussed up. Eschatology, end time, and. All kinds of stuff. And a Hebrew Christian writing to Hebrew Christians said, it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. And he says, do you know what? As a Hebrew Christian, we've got an altar to eat from that the people who minister at the temple haven't. That's Christ. We eat from Christ. It's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. From the fullness of his grace, we've received one blessing after another. Some versions say. I made a little list as I was, after God kind of tore me off and got me at the right perspective, 40 years. And I just made a little list about what is grace to me, and it's not exhaustive at all, but I just jotted this down in my notebook. Grace is light in my darkness. It's where my failure becomes forgiveness. It's where my weakness is turned to strength. It's when my worrying turns into wisdom. It's when I find riches in poverty. It's when presence comes from my sense of helplessness. It's when my doubting is turned to faith. It's when there's wholeness in my brokenness. It's when I'm full, even though I'm fragile. It's when there's treasure in my clay. Joy in the midst of sorrow, life in the midst of death, there's peace in the midst of the storm, and there's courage in the midst of pain. It's hope, even when I'm hurting. It's beauty from the ashes. It's singing in the midst of turmoil. It's heaven on earth. It's the Word made flesh. Some years ago, a friend of mine, who was a mutual friend of my best man, I became a Christian 6 months after leaving art school, and my best man had become a Christian a year before me. And I went to Leicester to do fine art, he went to Camberwell to do ceramics, and a mutual friend had trained for the Catholic priesthood and turned away from it, and he was about 20 years older than us. And so we used to write to him, as in the old days when you used to write on pen and paper, see what big letters I'm writing, you know. And that's an in-house little thing there. And so we would correspond, and both of us, me and my friend, we were on a mission to save this backslidden man. And we would just fill these letters with Bible verses. And the poor man, he was getting it in his stereo. And I'll never forget, this guy, he sent me a letter, and my friend's name was Liam, and this guy's name was Mike. And Mike sent me a letter, and he said, "I'm done with all your Bible verses." He said, "I don't care what Moses said." He said, "It's what you say that counts, because you're living today." Now, of course it's important what Moses said, but I heard what he was saying. We can kind of toss out verses. The Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, Moses said, and Paul said, and Jesus said, and Matthew said, and Isaiah said. But at the end of the day, most people, what they are reading is, what are you saying, and why are you saying it, and where are you living from? Yeah? He said, "I don't care what Moses said. It's what you say, and why you say it." And we must never forget that the gospel is a celebration of the life of God in Christ through the cross and the resurrection and the ascension. The gospel is the proclamation of the good news, the celebration of what God has done. And all the history lessons, all that's important, biblical history, all of that is important, it's helpful, but it's not the main meat. Yeah? I'm not sure. You were doing well until then, Tony, but... Our mission is to celebrate and to share the good news that God has made peace with people and to invite them into it. Amen. Yeah?
Yes.
And that must be in life. It must have a beating heart. It must have an impulse. It must have some flesh to live in. I was doing my head in one time. I noticed someone's got a thing called witness gear. I think it's your case. Someone's Bible case has got witness gear. It's a little tag.
No, it's down there.
Yeah, witness gear. I've gone out in my gear to witness. And I've laid it on the line with people. And one time someone said to me, "I don't care what you say in the Bible." He said, "It doesn't mean anything to me." He said, "I can put the Argos catalogue in front of you and say, well, it says in the Argos catalogue." You're just trading in books. You understand? We've received life. And that life is in the Son. And that life causes us to stand. That's what people read. You are the tract. Hello? Sometimes it's a lot easier to give someone a piece of paper. You are the tract. I used to get it in the neck in our church from someone who was saying, "We need more tracts in this church." Well, we could do with more people, that's so it could be helpful. But I said, you are the tract. Yeah. Then yeah. This person would go off and Tony said, we're the tract. That's good news. I mean, God confers dignity on you to bear his image and to actually shine and communicate life. That's a mighty calling. That's the nobility of being fully human in God's image. It's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Now then, as I said, there's a lot of assault that can cause us to just really lose hope, lose joy, lose peace. And it says here that we are to stand in grace. So it's not just something, I'm saved by grace, I was a sinner. It's not just some kind of slogan we trot out. It's the power of a risen life we live in. Stand in grace. Stand in it. We have peace so we can stand. And he says we're to rejoice in hope. Not just to have hope, but to rejoice in the midst of the hope. Two or three years ago, I had the opportunity to hear the author J.K. Rowling, and she was doing an interview. She was being interviewed in Bath, and I thought I'd like to hear what she's got to say. And it was at the where the Bath City Church meet, that big building. Yeah, it was packed, but I managed to get tickets, and I had someone with me. And there would be an opportunity to meet her at the end. And so anyway, I went to the event and she's being interviewed and she was talking about the latest book and one thing or another. And the person who was with me was really excited. And he kept saying to me, you see that lady there? She wrote Harry Potter. Wow. And you see that woman? Her words have got into the lives of millions of people. Whoa. And that woman there, she was sitting in a cafe in Exeter, just scribbling some thoughts out. And this whole story started to emerge. That woman we're going to meet. That woman. And I'm, okay, yeah. And it's kind of incessant, so I thought, I've got to guide this person. So I said, okay. He said to me, what would you ask her? I said, well, you answer that. What would you like to ask? He says, I'm going to ask, why do you write? I'm like, great. So we carried on anyway, and she did the interview, and then we had to wait a long time, but eventually we were called up. And as we're going and waiting in the queue, and JK's here, we're JK now, okay? So as JK's here, we're waiting in the queue. I mean, it's not pandemonium, but it's lively. And there are people who were kind of like 20-ish, sort to me. They've been older or younger. There were some Americans there. Oh, enthusiastic Americans, you know. And these Americans, they're pogoing with excitement because they've grown up with the books and it's kind of, you know, Joe. And I'm standing there, you know, I've got the pogoing group here. I've got this guy I'm with who's kind of like... And we go, this chap goes up and she looks at him and says, hello. And I'm thinking, okay, here we go, big conversation. And he went, hello. Okay. I thought, where's all the questions? Where's all the... And everything else. And then I went up and said, how are you? Nice, thanks for coming. And then these other people were just in tears, just all over the shop. And we went back anyway. We were driving back and I said to this person, what happened to you? He said, oh, I got starstruck. Now, here's the thing. I thought about that. You probably know where I'm going. These people were rejoicing in their hope. I had a ticket. I'm in the event. I've got my ticket. But I weren't rejoicing in the hope. It says here, rejoice in your hope. And you have to feed that hope. And you have to do all kinds of tricks to keep it fresh. I've got a Bible here, but it's only got chapter divisions. It hasn't got the verses. So it means that my eyes don't just wander on the same old things that I like. Different versions. Listen to someone you never listened to before. I find all kinds of ways to keep the hope fresh. So that you can rejoice in the hope. So it's actually rejoicing in the hope. Not just hoping, but actually, my goodness me, the incarnation, isn't it incredible? God became human. God became flesh. And God felt things. Wow, that's amazing. And he believed in his own, that he had to pray through his own resurrection. He said that he was heard for his loud cries because he called out to him who was able to save him out from death. Wow. Jesus had to have faith that God would raise him. And he says that God heard his urgent pleas. He wrestled in his spirit to be in a place where he had the assurance that God could bring him back. Wow. 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 Gosh. And he's in me. And he came to me 40 years ago on the A6 in a house. And there wasn't a bypass, and the traffic was just careering past, and there was a refuge tip that you just smelt like awful. And God came, and that goodness me. Whoa. And I'm going to meet him one day. But more than that, I met him this morning. He was sitting with me. We had breakfast together. And I was thinking, God, what's on your heart for these people? He talks to you and he sits with you. And you rejoice in your hope. You never, ever, ever leave me or forsake me. Therefore, what can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. You see what I mean? You feed your hope. You rejoice in it. Think of some questions to ask him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing as you abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now then, I just want to finish with hopefully a little bit of wisdom in this, because as well as rejoicing in hope, standing in grace. And sometimes we can be trying so hard, and God lets us fall, and God lets us fail, just so we just remember again, it's not about me, and it's not about how much tithing I've done, and how many meetings I've been to, and how much I know the Bible, and la la la. Sometimes God can let you slip, and you're surprised you slipped. And it's just God just saying, come on now, you live this life by me, not by your own piety. That's where you live from. You live from God and you live from Jesus, not from your own attainments, and so on and so on. Now then, it says we're also to rejoice in our sufferings. Now, I don't think that means that you think, oh great, I'm going to be in pain. There are some warped versions of Christianity that sort of like, you know, the more painful it is, the better it is for you. There's some strains of parenting that are like that. It's weird. To rejoice in suffering is to have the grace to be able to stay trusting, even when it's painful. I'm not enjoying suffering. I think you're a bit strange if you enjoy suffering. But I can look forward to what it'll produce. It'll produce character and hope and endurance. Interesting thing, that John was on the Isle of Patmos. Why was he there?
To write the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
He was in it.
All this is correct. You can't get it wrong in my classes, okay? Say again.
He lived in the cave because I've been there.
Do you mean, really?
The cave, yeah,
wow.
Where he wrote.
What was that like?
It was just very simple.
Yeah?
And it was very, quite humbling, really, to think that it was a cave and he was writing the book of Revelation.
Did you feel anything particular, or was it just...
Well, at that time, I really loved the book of Revelation, so it kind of fitted in nicely.
Right, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, it was quite special for it to come alive.
Off
the word of the Bible.
Wow. Thank you.
I'd like to take Adrian there one day.
Yeah, go for it, mate.
If you can put up with me.
Well, he says that he was there for the patient endurance of the kingdom. The patient endurance of the kingdom. You see, we're called not just to endure, but to have a grace that patiently endures. And I can patiently endure when my hope is kept alive. There's a lot in the Bible, New Testament especially, about endurance, and this thing of patience is never far behind. In fact, it's often in front. To patiently endure and joy in our sufferings. In the midst of the trial, I can know a grace that holds me there. And God says, ultimately, it will not disappoint. I have peace with God by the power of His Spirit. And that grace to rejoice in suffering enables us to love God more deeply. Now, has anyone ever heard of, and we're going to finish with this, Lawrence Sirius, the Carthusian? Well, he was around in the 16th century. I'm surprised. I thought this church, of all churches. He was around in 1522, and he translated this monk's writings on prayer that was from the previous century, so written in 1400 and something. And he said this. He wanted to encourage people, and particularly to patiently endure. And he said this. To inflame your soul with the fire of divine love, I will give you three burning coals which will kindle in you this very desirable flame. These coals are three meditations that you should make. The first is on what Jesus Christ is to you as God and as man, namely, supremely worthy of your love. So when I'm in the midst of the trial and I need to meditate on something, and I can meditate on these anyway, I just start thinking, who is Jesus? Who is he? He's my friend. He's my shepherd. He's my rock. He's my life. Who is Jesus? He's the God-man. Who is Jesus? Have a think about who he is and why is he worthy of my attention? Well, he conquered death and he never sinned. And by the power of death, he conquered death. Whoa. And even though he was sinless, he conquered sin. And he became sin for me in order that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ. I am just as righteous as Jesus before God, as Jesus is. He's supremely worthy of my attention. Who is he? I think every Christian has a particular grace in terms of how you particularly have experienced God. And there's some people in the room, you really know God as a strength. You have a grace in that. We've all have to trust, but particularly in, or it might be in courage, or it might be in patience. You have a think about how God has come to you, and you are able to believe. We sang that song earlier. You're able to believe in a particular area where other people might find it difficult. You can pray for strength for someone, and you know you have a quickening. There's a gift. I don't want to call it a gift. It's a quality of God that you've come to know. Other people have different aspects of God, and that's why the body of Christ is it's a beautiful thing. Have a think about how is God with you? How is he with you? Not just who he is. How is he with you? How have you known him? What's he like to you? That's your first call. Your second call is on what Jesus Christ is to you if you consider what he's done for your sake. For in all his acts we find proofs of an incomprehensible love. Who he is. What's he done? And the third is on what Jesus feels for you in his heart. And that is a love which is transcendent and infinite. Who is he? What's he done? And who's the clincher? What does he feel for me? Well, he feels burning love and compassion and heart. He's the God of all encouragement. He feels for us. He's passionate. He gave his life. What more could he give? He who did not spare his own son, will he not with him freely give us all things? What does he feel for me? And he said, with these three calls, you can strengthen your heart. You can know joy, hope in our suffering. So, my encouragement is, stay standing in the grace of God.
Amen.
Don't let any demon or weakness or fault finder knock you up from your standing. Your standing grace. And it comes by hearing. We have faith. We have access because of faith. And we have faith because we hear. It's hearing that produces faith in the Word. It's how you hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But faith, it comes initially through hearing, and that enables the Word to be rich and alive for us. Stay standing in grace. A lot of stuff want to knock us from that. As well as that, rejoice in hope of the glory. Not just the glory to come, but the glory we're in today. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? We're in this room today, and I think you've got to be dead not to know God's been drawing near to us.
Amen.
You know, that's a beautiful thing. The glory of God came, and he's here, and he's with us. And even I can't trace him or trust him. He's there. The glory of God was with us and is with us. I rejoice in hope. And I'll find all kinds of ways to keep it alive. Mm-hmm. I'll get that cranky version. I'll try that. Let's try that one. Let's just see. I went to a funeral a while ago of someone who used to be in a very religious setup and then had been with us for a while. But the funeral ended up in this very religious setup. And a few of us came out from the funeral. And my friend was really angry that this person who died had had a funeral that didn't represent where he got to in faith. And I saw this guy, we were coming out from the funeral service. And I said, "What's up with you?" He said, "I'm angry." He said, "That funeral did not represent that man." And he was, I thought he was going to beat the priest up. He was just like livid. He said, "What did you think?" I said, "Well, that is true, but you know what? It's showing me that you're alive. You're so wound up by this that I'm relieved you're alive. I'm relieved that you can't sit in a whole pile of religion and not be bothered. I'm actually relieved, John, you're stirred up. I'm relieved you're alive." He got hope in the midst of difficulty. And he got to see the hope of resurrection was actually beating really strong on the inside. And we can have, by the grace of God, a good dollop of patience on the endurance, and then some more endurance, then some more patience, and we'll know the peace of God that causes us to know the encouragement of the Spirit, not the disappointment of his life. Amen.
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 Finish on a song. I was just sort of looking as Tony was reading those scriptures, because I'm one that looks around versions. That's why I like doing that. So from one of the, again, some see it as cranky, I love it, The Message, the verse about standing in grace says, "We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand," which is lovely. "Out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise." There's just something about that place of the wide open space that's spacious.